Holly G with the Golf Insiders. We have been treated to some remarkable stories and some incredible golf, with Scottie Scheffler winning his second green jacket, then backing it up at the RBC Heritage. Nelly Korda on the LPGA Tour, making history with 5 consecutive wins. So much to talk about. And also his new release, his new book on Tiger called Drive. Bob Herrig from SI.com. Good morning, Bob.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, my goodness. We've had quite a fun couple of weeks. Saw you up at Augusta. And just your thoughts on first Scottie Scheffler and what we've seen, this run of his from, you know, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, winning the Players, the Masters, the RBC, and soon to have another special event in his life, a new baby.
Yeah, that seems to be the only thing that's derailing him right now.
Right?
A life-altering occurrence with having a child. So I notice he's not in the field at the Byron Nelson where he would normally play. Scheffler lives in Dallas. I'm guessing they're thinking the baby is coming now this coming week or very soon. And then we'll see what happens after that, because we've got the Wells Fargo and then the PGA. So, you know, why wouldn't he be favored at those as well, given the way he's been playing? So maybe this is everybody's chance to sneak in there, because he's got a few distractions, which are certainly understandable. Nothing else has been getting in his way. He's been so remarkable here, you know, the last month, 6 weeks. Actually, he's been really strong for a year plus. If he'd have racked up another win or two after the Players last year, this would be an incredible run. If anything, we were more focused on the fact that he wasn't winning. And now he has been. And, it just puts a kind of a shining highlight on the whole last year and how consistently strong he's been.
And imagine if he was putting better, Bob, what those numbers would have looked like.
Yeah, exactly, because that was really what was holding him back. He switched putters going into Bay Hill, and that seems to have sparked a bit of a resurgence on the greens. He's still not great at putting. He's good when he's on, and he still has his average putting days. But last year, and even leading into Arnold Palmer, he had negative strokes gained on the greens most weeks. You know, he was below average, and sometimes he was really bad, like at the bottom. And yet he was still contending.
Top tens week after week.
Right. I mean, it shows how great his ball striking is. I'm not an expert on strokes gained statistics, but certainly, your numbers might be a little off when you're hitting it, when you're hitting so many greens and you're giving yourself so many chances. I mean, you're not going to make them all. But anecdotally, I think we all, you know, can point to times where we saw him miss a short one, you know, or makeable ones. Even like the one tournament he didn't win here in this stretch, he had a 5-footer to tie or 6-footer on the last green and missed it. You know, now look, you're not going to make every one of those. But I think over the past year to 18 months, there were several examples of times where he missed those. And he even missed some shorter ones, which, you know, and then you look up and he's losing a tournament by one or two shots. And you think back to some of those misses. So he figured something out on the greens. You know, he went to a mallet putter. I thought it was interesting that he removed the line on his golf ball, the alignment line, which he said it freed him up, because that line, he got fixated on the ball rolling end over end. And if that line didn't, if that thing didn't roll the way he liked, it got in his head. So he removed it, and he said, there's an alignment aid on the putter itself. I don't need to worry about that. it freed me up. And I thought that was an interesting sort of mental hurdle that he needed to get over there. Like, he wasn't happy if the ball wasn't rolling perfect. And so it got to him, you know? And so now he's removed that issue and hey, whatever works.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, he seems to rack up these wins towards the beginning of the season. It will be interesting to see what happens from here on out. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's got, I guess he's got 10 PGA Tour wins now, and all of them have been before May. You know, like last year he did not win after the Players Championship, and in 2022, I don't believe he won after the Masters.
Right.
It's
an interesting statistic.
It is. I mean, he had won four times in 2022 through the Masters, twice last year through the Players, and then four times this year through RBC. But, you know, I would just point to the fact that, like, in 2022, he contended at the U.S. Open. Last year, he contended at, like, the Scottish. He probably should have won the Tour Championship each of the last 2 years.
True.
You know, he was
right in there.
In the year Rory won 2 years ago, Scotty had a 6-shot lead. You know, that thing gets skewed because of that scoring thing. But the bottom line is he was the leader going in and didn't win. And he was in contention at several tournaments last year after this time frame. So I just think that's kind of an aberration. I'm not sure it means a whole lot, but it is interesting, you know. I mean, and you know, we were talking earlier a little bit about, you know, baby on the way. You know, I mean, look, the guy's got a life, and he's hopefully after Hilton Head, he's shutting it down a little bit. You know, how is he going to come back? It's a quick turnaround to the PGA. It's in 2 weeks. You know, it'll be here before you know it, and why wouldn't we think that he could be a contender again the way he's playing?
Well, he has, as he describes it, this ability to, quote, keep his head down, you know, amidst all the buzz certainly going on around him and his wins right now. It's interesting, I just finished writing a story on Nelly Korda and her win at the Chevron Championship, her second major, fifth consecutive, tying Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam. And as I was looking through some of their press conferences, you know, they have very similar games and mindsets, Bob. You know, these low-key, reserve personalities, if you will. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and that might explain their success, you know. Kind of keeping an even keel might help. And, you know, in her case, I think we all kind of knew that this was possible. She won the Olympics a few years ago. I look up and kind of, I'm surprised she hasn't won more, you know.
Had the health scare with the blood clot.
Exactly. She's had some some stretches of injuries too, and where she's been off, and she's only 25. You know, she has 13 wins and she's 25. So, you know, but before this stretch, she had 8. And I would have thought she'd have won more given all of her ability. But look, sometimes it takes a little while to figure it all out. And, you know, that's a golf swing to die for. It sure looks repeatable and simple. And she hits it solid, you know, which is so important. So, but going into that major to win, you know, having a major be the fifth in a row. And she had a little time to think about it too. You know, there was a week off before. Yeah, it's pretty impressive to get yourself in it again. I mean, there's just no guarantees in golf. You know, I'm sure she was pretty worn out, which is why she withdrew this week, but I sure would have loved to have seen her try for the sixth, you know, this week, because she's on a roll and playing great. And obviously it's going to be a lot of attention the week she comes back. You know, nobody's ever won six in a row, and there's a lot of great players. And when you consider that, like, Mickey Wright never won six in a row, or Joanne Carter or Kathy Whitworth, I mean, some incredible players. And I mean, obviously Annika and Nancy Lopez also. So it's going to be fun to see how that comes down and how she approaches it.
Talking about the pressure of it all, she said right after the win, you know, she started to get nervous on the back nine. You know, she said, "Hey, it's a major. I wanted to win it more than anything." And she, you know, she hung in there, if you will, and then just, you know, really went after it the last couple of holes, nearly holed it out on 17, made an incredible second shot on that par 5, 18th over the water. I mean, you know, she didn't lay off the gas.
Yeah, and I think that's a trait that Scotty has. You know, coming down the stretch at Augusta, you know, he didn't play defensive. You know, he went for the green on 13, and nearly made eagle, but had an easy birdie. You know, he went at the flag on 14 and had a kick in birdie. There's something to be said for that mindset. It suggests confidence. You know, I mean, sometimes you play defensive, you know, it backfires. I mean, if you're playing not to make birdie, and something goes wrong, now you're looking at making a bogey. You know, there's a fine line there on when to be safe and when to be bold. And they seem to have that trait where, you know, they recognize to keep pushing is probably better.
Well, and as Arnold Palmer said, Bob, you must play boldly to win. And we are seeing it on both sides of professional golf. Let me ask you a question real quick. I'm curious your thoughts. Since this record-setting fifth win, a lot of conversation about why Nelly hasn't been getting the attention, obviously, as Caitlin Clark. I don't know that those are fair comparisons, given basketball and golf. But I believe if Caitlin hadn't come along, there would have been more focus on this, on Nelly's accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to this issue. One is the media landscape. You know, I mean,
you know that better than anyone.
Yeah, I mean, when Nancy Lopez won five in a row, she got on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You know, I mean, it was a national story what she was doing. It was huge. And, you know, women's tennis was really big at that time. Billie Jean King and Chris Everett. There was way more attention on that. And she kind of stepped in there and gave women's golf a big push. But I really think it has to do with the lack of media, the lack of golf media. I mean, there's just not that many people covering women's golf. You know, there's not that many outlets covering men's golf. I'm talking about traditional outlets. There's a lot of good content out there, don't get me wrong. But, like, you know, when I worked at a Florida newspaper back in the day, there would be 10 to 12 Florida newspapers at the Masters. This year, there wasn't one.
Wow.
Not a single newspaper from Florida covered the Masters. You know, I mean, you have national outlets like the Washington Post and the New York Post and the LA Times. And I mean, like, the Dallas Morning News wasn't there, and Scottie Scheffler's from Dallas.
That's incredible. So, like, who's sitting in that room, Bob?
You know, I mean, well, there's, you know, the golf specific publications.
I was shocked, you know, to see, I had coffee Wednesday morning with Roger Graves from PGA Magazine. Huge publication, not credentialed.
Yeah, I don't understand some of the thinking there, what the deal is with that. I mean, they are credentialing more new media outlets than they've ever have. you know, places that are non-traditional in terms of no laying up and bar stool and fried egg and places like that are getting credentialed to the Masters, which is great, you know. But they're missing, you know, there's so many people that still consume
traditional
sports
media.
Yeah, and those outlets are not covering it. So if you were a fan, like a casual fan, and you pick up the LA Times every day, you know, you might stumble into the golf, right? But you're not going to stumble into it very much in the Dallas Morning News. Now, of course, they're going to run AP and stuff like that, which is fine too. But it's just different when you don't send your own people. So, like, when you now you take this down to women's golf, the number of outlets in Houston, I'm guessing, was very small. And I don't think national outlets were going. You know, the golf publications were. You know, Golf Week was there. Beth Ann with Golf Week does a great job covering women's golf.
Yes.
So, but I mean, I think that's a big part of it, you know. And, you know, then I'll get, well, why don't you do more? And it's like, well, because unfortunately we are in a business that is driven by, frankly, page views, traffic,
clicks,
things. Yeah. And, you know, we tend to go for where that is. You know, if there's a choice, Tiger or the no-name guy who shoots 63, where do you think the choice is going to be? It's going to be Tiger. And people say, well, why do you cover him so much? He's, you know, he's finished last, because people consume it. You know, I mean, they just do. I mean, that this is, you know, the other day I noticed we at SI had, we ran fairly prominently a video of an alligator kind of trundling across a tee box in New Orleans.
Yes.
And that video got a lot of attention. So we put a headline on that and run 4 or 5 graphs and run the video. And that sort of thing does, you know, I mean, it's kind of sad how many people will click on that. And then, but they won't read a really nuanced story. You know, and that's just, you know, this is probably another discussion, but that's where the business is. And so we're all sort of caught up in that, you know. And so you ask, well, why isn't she getting more attention? I mean, women, hopefully the Caitlin Clark thing is going to drag more of this along. I think you're going to see more attention on the WNBA because of her. I think whatever tournament Nelly Korda plays in next will get more attention because people will be curious.
Yes.
And then it's the age old, whether she wins or not, people are going to tune in. They're going to watch. Are they going to be inclined to come back the next time? And that's where, you know, golf always has to try to capture the audience to stick around. I mean, that's what was always the hope with Tiger. You know, people would tune in because of him, and then they'd want to stick around. And so that's sort of the LPGA's their challenge here. The next time she plays, they need to sort of take advantage of that and gear themselves up for making sure that hopefully people are going to come back the next time. And hopefully that means she's got a good TV window, you know, the tournament gets publicized properly, and I'm sure they will.
And you make a good point. It's also the hierarchy of sports, right? I mean, let's look at the NFL draft. 275,000 people attending that event. I mean, it's mind-boggling, right?
The draft has become as big as the Super Bowl in many ways. I mean, it's you know, it's such a hyped-up thing, and the amount of attention it gets, the coverage, mock drafts. I mean, the NFL has seized. They managed to take over. You know, the sporting world, you know, 2.5 months after their biggest game.
Incredible.
You know, and months before they start up again. But that is how That's how it how they roll. Competing with that too, you're competing with the NBA playoffs and the
Absolutely.
NHL playoffs. You know.
Absolutely. So when you look at, you know, football, basketball, baseball, again, the hierarchy of sports, the popularity of all those sports, the trickle down just to golf, period, right, is something that you're fighting for, as you mentioned, in terms of eyeballs.
It is. And you know, let's, you know, golf is a niche sport to begin with. It's got a smaller audience. And so you're fighting within that too. So it's.
And Sunday's round, I got to point the finger, 6-hour round for that women's major.
Help.
They got to deal with that.
That did not help. I agree. You know, that's unfortunate. That's not just a women's golf issue. That's a golf issue. I mean, but still, twosomes to take 6 hours?
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's not great. That's really unfortunate.
Those are things that the LPGA needs to tackle to highlight the best part of the sport moving forward.
Exactly.
Speaking of that, we have a great PGA Tour event this week, Bob, at the TPC Louisiana, the Zurich Classic, which went to a team event in 2017, and how fun to have Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, the Irish duo, teaming together for this event this week.
Yeah, it's great for the tournament. Really is, you know. This would be a kind of a wild way for Roy to get his 25th PGA Tour win in a team event. You know, good for him. He's playing his fourth straight week. New Orleans comes at a time, you know, Zurich, when it's hard to get guys to be engaged. You know, it's 2 weeks after the Masters. You've got, I mean, let's be honest, they're in a really difficult spot. They're 2 weeks after the Masters, and they're the week after now a signature event. I mean, those are two must-play events, and then we've got a week after this, and then another signature event and a major. This is an easy time to take off. But you've got him playing, you got Morikawa playing, you got Cantlay and Schauffele playing. You know, obviously Shane Lowry's Roy's partner. I mean, they did really well. They got themselves a very good field. And we'll see how it plays out this weekend. You know, I think it's an interesting format. The alternate shot part of this, you know, with everything on the line is pretty intense.
So you've got alternate shot in the first and third rounds and better ball on the second and fourth rounds. It's, you know, it makes for good television. And like you said, at least something different in a very difficult part of the calendar. So last but not least, Bob, your book, your new book, Drive. Share with my listeners. It is now out and can be bought at all major book outlets online. Talk about your new book on Tiger.
Yep. Well, you know, Tiger's Masters sort of encapsulates what my book is all about. This Saturday, Sunday, Tiger at Augusta is sort of the last 10 years of Tiger's career, you know, just filled with a lot of frustration, injury, you know, back problems, stops and starts, not quite sure if he's going to make it. That's really since 2014 on, you know, the Masters was the 40th major since the start of 2014. There was one that wasn't played. So that's why it's exactly 40 now. And Tiger's missed 18 of them. He's missed almost half. And, you know, he's in that time, he's had spinal fusion. He's had 4 microdiscectomies. He's had how many surgeries associated with the leg from the car crash? But the Thursday-Friday Tiger, where he gutted it out and made the cut, is sort of, you know, the storyline of the book, Drive. I mean, like, how does he do that? Like, he doesn't have a game right now. He's not been playing. He's not been practicing like everybody else. He hadn't played 24 holes in February and then was sick. Before that, he hadn't played since the Bahamas. Before that, it had been last year's Masters. And on one of the hardest days the Masters has seen, he shoots 72. The wind's blowing, 40-mile-an-hour gusts. The best score of the day is a 69. And, you know, not only did he make the cut, he was inside the number by 5 shots. He beat a lot of guys. He beat Rory, he beat Rom, Koepka, Jordan, Justin Thomas. Look, he struggled.
Classic Tiger.
He wasn't able to finish it, which is his story. But those first two rounds were sort of 2018 to 2019 Tiger. You know, he somehow had gotten himself into a position to get it done. And that's kind of the book. You know, it's examples throughout his career of his resiliency. You know, like, it's more than just the talent. It's the drive. It's the inner fortitude to get it done. And that's, my book is basically example after example of that. It's not just his great skill. It's his sort of something inside him that most of us just don't have, that sort of willed him beyond, you know, the ability. I think Tiger's career, we're going to look back and it's going to be more about just the great skill. You know, look, the 2008 U.S. Open is a perfect example of that. You know, he had no business playing and he won.
Yeah.
You know, I think the 142 straight cuts, nobody gets halfway to that. Those are a couple of great examples of Tiger's resiliency that I highlight in the book.
And how do people buy the book, Bob?
Best way is probably to order it through Amazon. There's a discount there now. If you're an Amazon member, it gets delivered for free. You probably have it tomorrow. But it's at Barnes & Noble and Target.
The book is Drive. And Bob, congratulations. We so appreciate your time. And what a great Father's Day gift. Buy it before they sell out. As always, Bob, thanks so much for your time with the Golf Insiders.